ओम शांति। गुड मॉर्निंग। सो वी हैव सिस्टर जेंटी विद अस। आई थिंक एवरीवन नोज सिस्टर जेंटी, बट वन ऑफ द थिंग्स आई थॉट वुड बी गुड टू से अबाउट हर फॉर दिस पर्टिकुलर इंटरव्यू इज दैट आई ऑफन सी हर एज बाबा'स एनवॉय टू द वर्ल्ड, लाइक एन एम्बेसडर। दैट्स हाउ वी हैव ऑफन or the Yagya, or we at the UN, we have often used her because her personality reveals many things of Baba just by having her sit there. And Brother Nile, he's been with Baba a very long time. He is a singer. I remember finding some songs that you composed and that you sang. So you're very, very sensitive in terms of arts and beauty, and also he's worked on how to get messages across in many different areas in his work. And last year, as I was saying earlier, he really helped us with being aware of our position and the possibilities we have to change at the time of looking at a particular problem. So, the world is a very big place. And do you feel you can heal the world, Sister Jenti? You can push the button. And this one is from down. I've used it a lot.
Om Shanti. Yes, I'm in touch with the world in many different ways.
So you're in touch with the world, we know that. Baba said that she was the flying angel of the family. So how do you feel you can heal the world? How do you do that?
Three different ways that I can think of instantly. One is to make sure that I'm always alert to Baba to heal me so that things can stay in the right space. Because if there's a hurt that I'm carrying, whether a little one from today or whether a big one that I've carried for years, that if I'm still feeling hurt, then my responses to others aren't going to be Baba's responses. They're going to be from my samskaras. So one is to keep that process of healing going for the self. Secondly, to have empathy for those around me, to try and put myself in their situation and ask myself the question, if I was in their shoes, what would I be feeling? So that perhaps there can be some connection made, some rapport. And then thirdly, yoga. Mm-hmm. A little bit of time for Mansa Seva, then whether it's a specific individual I'm thinking of, but I wouldn't hold that for long, but just fleetingly to be aware of them and their needs, but also to let Baba's light just radiate out.
Thank you, thank you. Same question to you, Mel. Do you feel you can heal the world?
I think I can definitely contribute. I mean, for me, I think the language of healing I found early in my life in music. And when I was a young child in church, I found that music attuned and exalted the sense of relief, soothing, and possibility. And one of many things attracted me to this path. And one was the fact that God comes to sing to us. You know, like the Gita is the song of God, basically. And I found, as a musician, rather, it was quite appealing, you know, that music has the sense of speaking deeply to the heart and the mind. And when people are in trouble, often they go and listen to music. You know, it takes away that immediate sense of abandonment, isolation, lost in pain. And what it does is it attunes to something called sympathetic resonance, so that, you know, it allows you to at least touch or imagine for a brief moment something greater than yourself. And so for me, definitely the music is one of the greatest healing forces in life.
Thank you, thank you. So I would like also to understand, in your life, do you feel like you both, in a sense, are being used by Baba, right, to heal the world? Because that's Baba's job, to make the world a better place. And I was thinking when I was preparing the sit interview that I feel that probably Baba is using the specialities of each of you, of each of us. Do you feel like this also? Do you feel like Baba's using you through your specialities? And then which ones?
Look, I've used this expression before, so it's not mine and it's not original. I definitely feel that with consciousness and creativity, if you don't put your hand up and be the antenna, it will go to somebody else, basically. You don't have any, you know, rights to own anything, but you do have an obligation for the calling to participate, for the vocation of it. And so, yeah, I do. I feel that if I'm, and this is a word that belongs to the Brahma Kumaris, you know, when you're serving, you know, basically you're making yourself available to enrich other people's lives, to be available. When you're in that space and you're not thinking about your own anxieties and your own worries, you know, it's a big experience that you're opening up to. So, yeah, I do.
Thanks a lot. Sister Jinti, what are your specialities that Baba's using that you feel are healing the world? Because you have many that might be just, I mean, you're an amazing administrator, but I don't know, does Baba heal through administration?
If it wasn't for Baba, I wouldn't be an administrator. So that's the bottom line.
Thanks for your honesty about it.
I would run a mile from administration if it was up to me personally. But I take that on board because it's part of oiling the wheels, and I know it's Baba's work. And so I'm not sure that Baba's doing it. I think Baba's responsible for the outcome, for the results, but I think Baba makes sure that I get it done.
Sure.
So whether it's sacrificing sleep or whether it's adjusting other things, I'm going to make sure that it happens. But so that's my commitment.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that I know that in two situations, it's really not me. I have to get out of the way, and a little bit like Niles said, whatever it is I've been thinking about, I just have to set it aside and be present with the individual who's speaking, if it is an individual connection. And at that moment, just let Baba into the picture. And then I can listen properly. And then whatever is the answer that comes, it wouldn't have been premeditated by my own sanskaras or my own feelings, but I'm really listening, and then it's something that comes out that I wouldn't necessarily have known about.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's something that may be of help to them. And the second is where definitely when I'm in a situation of service of the world out there, I'll know a little bit about the sort of direction that I want to go in, but I won't know precisely what it is that's going to come out. And again, at that moment, I think it's really Baba. And it was a blessing that Baba gave me many, many years ago when we had the amazing fortune of personal meetings, and Niall has had that experience too. And Baba said to me, and he quoted Janak, Daddy, he said, Janak has this ability just to put aside everything and just let Baba be in front and let Baba do his work. And you're learning to do the same.
Mm.
So I took it as a blessing from Baba, and I remembered it often. And so it's something that I experience very often.
So that's the service when you're actually physically almost engaged with people, right? But then I was wondering also about maybe a different level of service, which is the Mansa Seva, the Sakash type of service, where I think a lot of the healing of the world is going to happen through Baba's Sakash. But at the same time, we are instruments for it. And I don't think that there is a right way and a wrong way. I think there are many ways. And both of you, I'm sure, are interesting that we want to know how you do your own mental service, your Mansa Seva, and how do you do when you let Baba Sakash come out. Can you share an experience?
I found that if I keep Baba and I'm thinking about the point of light, when I keep Shiv Baba in front of me, the Almighty Authority, and just let my mind be very still and stay connected and focused with Baba, then I know that Baba's light is going out and is reaching wherever it's needed. And this is why I'm not thinking about individuals or places, but literally just Baba. And let Baba do the work that he needs to do. He knows more than me where it's needed the most, and even he knows more than me who are the ones who are going to be the most receptive, because I think that even in terms of receiving Sakash, there are souls who are ready and then souls who are not quite ready. And I can't think of the situation where I give Sakash. I don't think it's possible. I think it's Baba who's giving that light. But my job at that moment is to really just clear things and keep Baba in front.
Thank you very much. Nice, same question for you. I would like to know your experience, and I'm sure it could bring a lot of knowledge to others.
I think I look at my life reasonably practically, and for the last 10 years, I've been traveling an awful lot around the world. And as a result of that, I found myself in flights experiencing huge amount of turbulence, sort of. So the last couple of years, I spend a lot of time while I'm flying just talking to the elements, trying to understand and build a relationship of respect and mercy out of my own self-interest, but also to try and understand why there is so much of disruptive energy everywhere I go, both in nature and in people, in families and organizations. And so that's what I do when I'm flying. When I'm with myself or I'm reflecting, I remember all of the people that I've been close to in my life, those who have passed away and those who are not present with me. And I like people, actually. It's always been my interest. I've always been found it easy to get close to people and to understand them. So I do spend a lot of time in a kind of merciful way of remembering people's qualities, how much we share together, the time we share together, and I build up off that. And I allow things come into my mind, and then I just send out positive healing qualities as a result of that. I don't have a great plan. Honestly, I'm quite spontaneous. And if I feel intuitively something comes into my mind, I will give it attention and time. And that's how I kind of operate, very, very much on a day-to-day level.
Thank you. Sister Jenti, what Nigel just said about, the merciful feelings, I think it's a motivation to spend time actually doing this work that you described as focusing on Baba and allowing him to use you. So can you speak to us around your motivations when you are taking time out to do that kind of service?
It would be the same, that there's a sense of gratitude that I feel to Baba, right from the very early days when it wasn't that I was looking for God, but there was confusion about, well, which direction should my life be going in? I didn't have that clarity, and from time to time it would become a sort of big question. At other times it would sort of recede. But at the times it became a big question, I didn't know how to resolve it. And then Baba's Gyan dissolved the question completely. It became very clear, what is it that I need to do? So I've really appreciated Baba's Gyan, what Baba has done for me, and all of that. And so because of that gratitude and my own sense of Baba being my savior, not in a sort of religiosity feeling, but really Baba saved me from a lot of sorrow and strife and all the things that I see people in Kaliyuga going through. And so that sense of gratitude stays with me and motivates me to try and help another. And so, and also, I find myself so often I'm sharing aspects of just soul consciousness and what the soul is, because that knowledge, the knowledge of soul, was amazing for me. It answered 90% of my questions immediately and opened up new avenues. And so I try and share a little, even, of the knowledge of the soul when people have questions. And so, yes, and then when I again see the challenges that people are going through, the stories that you hear as Baba's instrument, and you know, even after public lecture, people will come up and there'll be a dozen other people around, but they'll share with you the essence of their story, because you're so lost. And so my first thought is, well, thank you, Baba, but how do I help this soul? And so yes, empathy and mercy, compassion, these are very powerful qualities that keep coming up just spontaneously, because I think that people really are quite desperate at this moment.
Thanks a lot. I think that it's very interesting to also look at knowledge, as you were saying just now, as something that will help people heal themselves. In a sense, it's empowering them, right? Giving them the knowledge to do what is good for them. What about you? What is your motivation? What is your way with Baba? What relationship do you have with him at the time of sharing his amazing gifts and knowledge?
I've reduced my philosophy down to a couple of very simple things, and one is that I completely believe in kindness. I really believe that in the end only kindness matters, and so, you know, I navigate my way through life with that principle, with that value. And in my interactions with people, I feel that if I'm heart-centered, I'm honest and open, I will allow the basis of the relationship to move where it could become. So in terms of knowledge, I think that I don't consciously carry that much. I listen to classes, listen to the Murli, and after that, it's really who's in front of me, wherever I am. That's the basis of how I operate. Very, very micro level, but I completely am committed to kindness, because I really believe that it's the only pathway. And, you know, obviously being a vegetarian and trying to amplify that in ways of shared meaning with people. Never try and embarrass people, never try and, you know, be smart, never try and sort of over be intelligent with people, but genuinely just be with them. And that allows people a sense of distilling and allowing their authentic self to breathe and be with you. So that's how I sort of apply.
And the relationship with Baba? Like, how do you, is Baba the Lord of kindness for you then? Is he the merciful one?
Yeah, look, I'll be very honest with you, I don't really overthink it anymore. You know, I went to a Jesuit boarding school, and after 5 years at the Jesuits, I had enough of people who really think too much. And I think, you know, you really have to reduce your life into a sense of simplicity, you know, just really make it simple, because there's so much complexity in the world. People want to draw you into that space because they feel, I don't know, they feel this sort of dissonance in their spirit, and it's what everybody's up to. You know, everybody's, you pass everybody in the street now and they're all looking at a screen. There's no more eye contact. Even at a bus stop, nobody can stand still and actually share the space with you anymore. You know, just sort of, we don't fall into conversations with people anymore. People are just, you know, they're caught up. And so, you know, I'm just conscious not to enter that space as much as possible, really.
Remembering why I have to work in interfaith a lot in this life at the moment. So I would say from Jesuit you became Franciscan because they love simplicity.
I like the Franciscans. I wish the Jesuits became more Franciscan, actually. But, yeah, that's another story.
So we're going to Franciscanize the institution. What about that?
I'm all for
that
it.
Would help healing the world, wouldn't it? So thank you for your honesty and straightforwardness. I was actually also listening this morning at the Merli with this interview in mind, of course. And so Baba was speaking about, you know, from a brothel to the temple of Shiva, from a place of sorrow to a place of happiness, from a stage of peacelessness to the absolute peace. And I thought that was really resuming very well the healing powers of Baba. So I wanted to hear your experience at, you know, how, in the beginning when I was hearing that, I was feeling a little bit like brothel, to temple of Shiva, and wondering more and more what it meant. But how do you live through that now? How do you see it happening? Do you also see the temple of Shiva awakening at the moment? Do you see that beauty blooming?
Well, definitely I see the brothel.
Yeah, we all do, don't we?
You know, in early days I used to read them early, and Baba would say Bharat, and particularly is Ravan's kingdom, and people who hadn't yet been to India would ask me questions. Really, why is Baba talking about Bharat especially? And I said, well, when you get to India and you see the cinema posters being advertising all the films, then you'll get an idea. But since then, it's not one country, it's not one place. The world has a lot of corruption, deception, and impurity. And that is a reality that is everywhere. And of course, like I said, I get exposed to many, many stories of individuals who are caught up in situations that, on one level, they weren't responsible for, or maybe their responsibility was, in a specific way, a very tiny little thing, and things have escalated so much. So yes, I get exposed to that a lot. So then Baba says things are extreme, the vices are in their extreme state. It's true. Mm-hmm. And yet of course I see the beauty, and like I've been seeing the beauty that happens in COP, the climate change conferences, where there's now a greater and greater awareness of the things of consciousness. You mentioned vegetarianism. Well, I did not expect that in a scientific panel they would talk about the research that's been happening with agriculture, and how dairy production and agriculture generally is as big a culprit for carbon emissions as the other and transport, for example. And so when I hear this from scientists on a panel in a big gathering like in Paris in the climate change conference, I think things are turning around in a big way, where people are now, they have the scientific facts, so they have the courage to speak about these things in an open forum. And so I'm seeing that, and they didn't just keep it to carbon emissions, they also talked about compassion, compassion for all living creatures. So that idea, kindness, there are books being written about kindness and people who are doing research into that subject. So can you imagine, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, I certainly would not have known that people were going to be writing and doing research on the subject of trust. Met a man in January and he's doing research on the subject of trust, and it's government funded. And then you've got kindness, again, research and books. Compassion, again, research and books. So the original qualities of the soul have disappeared to such an extent that it's causing a lot of pain. And I think this reaction to the pain then manifests in different ways. And one of the very positive ways is it starts making people think. What are these qualities? And they're now thinking about all of this, not just on a very personal reflective level, but on level of research. How can we make sure that people understand these things? And so I see that as being a very beautiful development. And so that gives me, it doesn't give me hope, but it gives me the assurance, because I never lost that hope. With Baba's Gyan, you know that the vision is of a better world. And so Baba's Moolyas give me hope for myself and the world. But it gives me confirmation that Baba seems to be touching souls to do all this investigation and research to find ways in which the world can understand these ideas. They don't understand the spiritual concepts, but they do understand the word scientific research. Evidence has to be evidence-based. So we're getting there. And so I'm seeing that there's an awakening happening that is big. It's happening worldwide.
So you're kind of seeing, if I can reuse my word to what you're saying, the preparation happening for an awakening.
It is an awakening in itself, that people are now aware that there is a need to explore all of this, that it isn't just soft stuff that you can ignore, but these are the essential things that we need for health and well-being for ourselves, like compassion and kindness. A lot of research about kindness and how it impacts my health and well-being. So it's an awakening in itself.
Sure, thank you. Do you want to add something to that? I can see you.
First of all, I just go back to my thought when you asked the question. I see Baba as a storyteller, and I see the Gita. The Gita originally is a meta narrative, so it's the story of stories. It's an overarching story, and for me, I suppose, to keep my faith alive and to bring meaning into my world, I had to fall in love with the storyteller, and I had to imagine or reimagine myself in the story. And so at some point as a student, I started to pay attention to things that I could, experience. So I went to Calcutta to see the banyan tree that he talked about in the Murlis. You know, I went out to Diamond Harbour to understand. So I had a felt sense of being in the place in order to contextualize what inspiration the man drew from the observation. And, you know, and I would encourage everybody to go to Somnath Temple, you know, if you haven't been. It's really imperative, actually, that you go to understand the history. And when you see a temple right on the water, you understand how it was looted and how people came from the other lands to take the wealth. all of these things contribute to understanding the story, because historically this is how we've all learned, and this is how our imagination is really stoked, is through storytelling.
And so do you feel Baba's healing your imagination?
I do, completely, absolutely. You know. But having said that, you have to understand your place in the story. You have to find the edges of the story. I wasn't born in Sindh. I wasn't born in Karachi. I wasn't born in India. I was born in the west coast of Ireland. So I understand my place and my part in the story.
Can you tell us a bit more about that? Like, when you understood your place in the story, it allowed you to understand the story better. Can you tell us about that connection?
Well, I think everybody essentially is looking for purpose and meaning, you know, and one of the things I feel in terms of a spiritual life is that Baba works on your identity first. He helps you reimagine a new identity. Now, all of us come as students into this space with multiple identities. And in fact, I would encourage you not to lose all of them, because one of the greatest things that you have, you know, in the Western world is autonomy and creative thinking. In other words, the attribute that brought you to the front door of God's house on the very first day was your ability to think outside of the box, to allow yourself to step outside your culture and your family and make a singular choice about yourself. One should never lose that. It's actually at the core of what brought you here, and it should be preserved to keep you here, basically, in terms of how I see it. And so, you know, the whole sense of participating in a cultural story, you have to work through that. You have to understand your place, your part. And I feel once I did a lot of homework and research in understanding the journey of the Brahma Kumaris, understanding the key people, personalities, I didn't have any problem with what I heard, what I experienced, and it's allowed me to be here, in a sense, reasonably free in my head and in my heart.
Thanks a lot, Nath. It's inspiring to see how we all walk our travel with Baba. Each one is a unique, unique person. So thank you for sharing your unicity in that way. I was also remembering that both of you have crossed some very challenging health issues at some point. You break your spine and you are dealing with some health issues as well. So I know that when one is dealing with that, one also needs to heal the body. But in order to heal the body, one can see that there are certain aspects of oneself one needs to heal. And especially if you're bedridden, you have time to do that. So I'd like both of you to tell us a bit about your experience in healing.
Well, one was a time when I couldn't speak for 3 months. Maybe it was even a bit longer. And my job is speaking, speaking, speaking. And so it was a situation in which I was freed from my job and there was time. And yes, it was a time for reflection. It was a time for seeing what had happened up until then and then what it is that I wanted to do next. I was convinced that whatever it was, and so often these things are not helped with external medication. You go through that process of antibiotics and things, and they're not working. And so then you realize that, well, maybe it's something deeper. And that's actually when I first came across alternative medicine. And it was very simple things, simplicity, but very simple things that actually marked the turning point. And it was a very natural healing that happened after that. And I knew that, A, it was giving me space. And it was during that period, actually, that I decided that I had to do something about anger. Because just prior to that, it had been very, very, very stressful, external pressures, a lot of external pressures. And it was in that external pressure situation that I shouldn't have taken it on board, but I did. And I'd got very angry with one of my colleagues and regretted it as soon as I put the phone down on them. Huge, huge regret and repentance. And next thing I know, I'm out of action. So I knew that they were very deeply connected. What had led to that story and then the incident and then what am I going to do now? So right from the beginning, I knew that it was time for reflection and coming closer to Baba. Because I also knew that it wasn't just external silence that was going to help me, but A, it was the realization process inside, but also it was Baba's light that was going to help. And so that was a very powerful experience that time. Different things have happened, and I'm not invoking anything, but it seems to be like every 10 years something serious happens.
So did you actually consciously spend time opening up to Baba, healing the soul and the body?
A technique, and I don't know when I first learned it, but a long time ago, I learned that if I could be here and take Baba's light, then I could actually use Baba's light to heal whichever part of the body it is that needed special attention. And it's a technique that I've used very often. And I'm sure it facilitates the recovery process. I'm convinced of that. And so yes, that was very much something that I was doing, allowing Baba's light to reach my throat especially, because it was this that was a sort of main problematic area.
Do you do the same thing with the soul? I mean, you can't really poke the soul where the anger is, I suppose, but do you also feel like that about healing the self?
My mother today said, surrender your service to Baba. It reminded me actually of surrendering my weaknesses to Baba. Just as with service, you can't say, okay, I'm going to sit back and let Baba take care of it all. I have to do the external work that I need to do, but the magic happens through that surrender to God. Otherwise, it's just mundane. Same thing. My realization has to be my own process of really exploring and understanding and acknowledging that honesty with myself. Where is it that I've not been able to move forward? And then having done that, then there comes a moment that, and it doesn't happen sort of like step by step, 1, 2, 3, 4. It takes time. But there comes a moment when you say, Baba, now you have to help me. And so that inner surrender of my weakness to Baba means that Baba can step in and help.
Thanks a lot. Yesterday, Daddy was with us, and she said to her, surrender your mind to Baba. So it's very aligned with what you were just saying now. What about you, Nile? What would you say to that?
I would have to say that illness, first of all, I think that I had to be honest with myself when I got ill, and I had to put my hand up. I think illness is a roadmap that's going to tell you where you've been with your thoughts, your words, and your actions for most of your life. It's the embodied part of you that when it finds its way into that part, to become ill, you know, and to suffer, really brings humility, brings mercy into a person's life, because ultimately I have to take responsibility for who I am and where I've been. The one thing I discovered over 20 years ago, and many of you probably know about it, is vibrational healing. And I particularly, I'm just looking at the lotus here, studied flower medicine. And I did a course on it, and then I started to read about flowers from around the world, across different cultures. And in fact, at the moment, I'm halfway through a book called The Lotus Quest, which is all about the history of the lotus flower across religion and culture and social history for the last 2,500 years. And it's an amazing story, you know, of what not only the flower represents across all of these cultures, but, you know, the fact that Baba uses the word a lot. And so when you take some of Baba's essenceful words, as he does, and spread it out and spend a bit of your life as a quest to understand some of it, it brings alive certain things, at least for me anyway, that are very resonant and very meaning. In terms of illness, yeah, look, it's a very, very personal journey for me, and ultimately I saw in my own illnesses an invitation to really open my heart and to have dialogue with myself, even right to the cellular level, you know, asking, understanding. Because what I believe happens to me is I used to disassociate. So when I became hyper-challenged by things, I moved out of my body. And as a practitioner of medicine, of meditation for many, many years, disassociation or moving out of your body is a very, very easy thing to do. But I had to learn to actually do it correctly, you know, not to run away from pain, embodied emotional pain, because it will get worse and it will find a way into severe illness.
I would really like to thank both our panelists. You have been wonderful. I could still listen to you for about an hour more, but I know that we all have things to do. So let's thank all of them with our hands.
Thank you to Valeria and to Sarah and everybody who's put this amazing retreat together.
So we're going to have a few minutes of silence together, and then we will divide into groups for the healing powers of God for the exploration.